In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This liturgical year C, the Church places before us as the second reading the namesake for the third Sunday of Advent, this passage from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. The apostle, full of love and expectation, exhorts his listeners, Gaudete in Domino semper, iterum dico, gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. However, I'd like to focus on this other word from our second reading that we have translated for us today as kindness. Your kindness should be known to all. Now, the Greek word, epieikes, translated here as kindness, is translated in Catholic versions of the Bible. In addition to kindness, we find modesty, forbearance, gentleness, courtesy, and my favorite, good sense. The Greek here is obviously not easy to translate smoothly into English, but these terms here do have somewhat of a common theme among them. Each of these words suggests the importance of preferring God and others to ourselves. Perhaps the best way for us to understand this word, kindness, is rather detachment, or even better, holy indifference. Now, we Catholics normally consider indifference to be a bad thing. Often it is. Most of the time it is, probably. This kind of indifference is seen most clearly in the idea that all beliefs, perhaps all religions, all Christian communities are more or less equal in value and basically teach the same things, that it makes no difference whether one seeks happiness through Jesus Christ or anyone or anything else. Holy indifference, on the other hand, is a very good thing, and what it seems St. Paul is getting at above all today in our second reading. Holy indifference is the exact opposite of worldly indifference. By worldly indifference, we reach the point where we just don't care about the matters of God or of other people. By holy indifference, we reach the point where we just don't care what happens to ourselves, as long as God's will is done and that we love others as our Lord loved us. Holy indifference is that loving confidence that we as Christians have, that Jesus is the source as well as the fulfillment of our life and our happiness and any good work. The great St. Francis de Sales had this to say about holy indifference. The indifferent heart is as a ball of wax in the hands of its God, receiving with equal readiness all the impressions of the divine pleasure. It is a heart without choice, equally disposed for everything, having no other object of its will than the will of its God, and placing its affection not upon the things that God wills, but upon the will of God who wills them. This is why St. Paul could be sitting in prison after all kinds of suffering and still tell the Philippians, rejoice. Because whether in good times or bad, St. Paul knew that both his consolations and his sufferings were bringing him closer to the Lord who loved him enough to die for him. We see this in a very real way in the vows of marriage. The bride and groom say to each other during the celebration of this sacrament, sometimes paraphrased in different wordings of the vows, but ones we're most familiar with probably, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, the groom is saying to the bride and vice versa, whatever the sacrifices involved, I commit myself to your happiness in this life and most importantly in the next. This indifference is also why St. Paul encouraged the Philippians to have no anxiety at all. Have no anxiety about the things of this world, because that is not where we will find happiness. Our true happiness is only found in the new commandment of Jesus, as he said, love one another as I have loved you. Love, as any married couple knows, is not something you can grasp or take. It must be given and it must be received. We have great difficulty often waiting to receive things. We are a culture of takers rather than receivers. We are hungry, and so we voraciously consume whatever can satisfy us right then and there. And yet we're not satisfied. The more we take, the more we consume, the more we find ourselves constantly plagued by anxiety. But as Pope Benedict XVI said before his election, love is the soul's true nourishment, yet this food, which of all substances we most need, is not something we can produce for ourselves. One must wait for it. The only way to make absolutely certain that one will not receive it is to insist on grasping it by oneself. Jesus Christ, the scriptures tell us, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, our Lord did not come into the world in order to put on a kind of show, to show us how great and powerful he is. No, rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, obediently accepting death. And while the cross was certainly foremost in his mind, the primary focus of our Lord was the will of his Father. As he said, "I always do what is pleasing to my Father." And that's it. That's all that is necessary to patiently and lovingly fulfill the station in life the Father has given us. As Christmas rapidly approaches, let us ask the Lord for the grace of indifference to anything this world has to offer, recognizing that our true peace only comes from the Prince of Peace. Instead of grasping for the quickest satisfaction we can find, let us make known our requests to God our Father, holding out our hands, as it were, to receive the gifts he wants to give us, his children. When we have surrendered our hearts and our lives to our Father, then we will have that peace that surpasses all understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.